Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A cross between ZZ Top and Sherlock Holmes. You're with Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, welcome to the show and happy Friday, everybody. It is great to be with you live today on this December the 2nd, right here out of Central Texas on today's News Talk once again. And got a great show lined up for you. Per usual, we got CC Woods and Kent Moyer joining me in the third hour. That's going to be interesting. Maybe we can figure out why the heck President Biden and his Secret Service motorcade would be renting cars from Hertz. What is that? And what else happened there? That's really interesting. I thought the president was supposed to be moving around in like a bulletproof glass motorcade, stuff like that. But I don't know. Apparently, they rent Jeeps and Ford Explorers from Hertz. What is that? Okay, so maybe Kent can help me understand that, because I feel like that story, if you're not familiar with it, we'll get that out to you later. What else? In the second hour, we'll be speaking with Ed Dowd, and he's a former portfolio manager for BlackRock, so that could be interesting. He's going to talk to us about finance and where this is all headed, so that's going to be interesting. And in this hour of the show, the one, the only, the TNT climate and weather watchdog and the best meteorologist on the interwebs, Joe Bastardi, will be joining us. So you don't want to miss that. That's always a fun time hanging out with Joe. So let's see here. The U.S. wants to redeploy weapons from the Middle East to Ukraine, says Raytheon. Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. We saw what happened last time. They wanted to redeploy and repurpose weapons around and about the Middle East. Seems like we had this little thing called Benghazi happen. So these things don't always move smoothly. But hey, at least they're kind of telegraphing this time. So the U.S. is working to move some National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems, that's NASAMS, from Middle Eastern countries to Ukraine. Raytheon Technologies CEO Greg Hayes has said the Virginia-based arms manufacturer developed the weapons in collaboration with Norway. And they are deployed across the Middle East, and some of our NATO allies and we, the U.S., are actually working with a couple of Middle Eastern countries that currently employ NASAMS and trying to direct those back up to Ukraine. That's what Hayes told Politico yesterday. He added that redeploying existing weapons would be faster than manufacturing new ones. Okay, that's a likely excuse right there. Oh, yeah, well, we're not manufacturing any new ones. No, we're certainly not giving our old crap that's been sitting out there in the sun and the dust and the sand and sending that to the Ukro-Nazis. I mean, the Ukrainian soldiers. Yeah, that's definitely not what we're doing. We're not sitting here taking on giant contracts to build new higher power, you know, more technologically awesome missiles over here at Raytheon. We just need to get them up there quicker. So we're going to move them around. What are they doing in the Middle East anyways? Well, that's a whole nother question. What else? The death of a U.S. mercenary exposes the bleak reality of service with Ukraine's International Legion. So it's been confirmed that Trent Davis, a 21-year-old U.S. citizen who traveled to Ukraine to fight in the International Legion, has been killed in combat. The 10th American known to have met their end in the conflict. His premature death highlights the enormous dangers facing foreigners joining Kiev's fight. Davis was an Army veteran, having enlisted at just 17. However, he had no actual combat experience, having served as a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear defense specialist before leaving in December of 2021. So that's pretty sad. I hate seeing this, you know, this, the propaganda wave that drives, people from other countries. They think they're going there to do a good thing, and it turns out to be a trip oftentimes that, doesn't go well. I recall, earlier in the conflict, seeing a couple of, American, former military YouTuber type guys, went over there and they kind of documented their trip. And it, I don't know if they knew what the hell they were doing or who the hell was pulling the strings on that one. They claimed that they spent their own money to go there, went there on their own plan. And the experience that they showed on their YouTube channel was really rather bizarre. Very, very bizarre. I do not think it's a good idea for soldiers to head on over there and try to kick in with this here, whether they're contractors or what, whether they're looking to get a contract. This is a 21-year-old. I mean, who's a 21-year-old with no combat experience, even though military experience? I mean, that's, did no one say to him, hey, you're walking into a meat grinder? You know, was there any sort of support coming from his government here in the U.S. for that trip? Or was it kind of like the guys I saw where they paid for it out of pocket, did it all on their own, you know, dime and morals and, you know, that kind of stuff. So who knows, but very sad. And they say there's not, there's a ton of foreign fighters there, folks. There are tons of foreign fighters there. Like all these proxy wars get littered with mercenaries, foreign fighters, special interests, and black bag money supported projects that we just very seldom get any sort of lens into, any view into. So, you know, that's how that's going. All right, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download that TNT Radio app from the Apple App Store, Google Play, so you can listen live anywhere, anytime. You know it's available always right now, at least until someone says they're going to remove it. But they can't do that because we're nice, right? We're good. We need TNT Radio in that app store. So grab it, and it'll keep you up to speed on TNT Radio.
The latest news to your smart speaker.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, so if you heard the second hour of yesterday's show, or if you heard the Boiler Room last night, or if you've been listening to TNT, you're probably aware by now that something that I have been wondering about and keep mentioning with all the Elon fanboy and fangirling and fan Z and Zemming that's going on. Oh, wait, the Z's and Zems. They don't really like Elon. Sorry about that, guys. Oh, I mean, Z's and Zems. But anyways, I kept asking people, well, what about the technocratic part? What about the Neuralink? What about the brain stuff? And, well, lo and behold, here it is. It hits the headlines yesterday, and now it's making the rounds. Elon Musk names new timeline for human brain chip tests. And here to discuss is Darren Denslow, because we got to cut this up a little bit more, man. I got John's take on it yesterday. I need to hear what you have to think about this.
Yeah, there's something I want to talk about. It's something that's always thrown into the argument when you discuss Elon Musk and you look at what I perceive to be positive steps that he's making on Twitter. Everyone goes, oh, no, he's banned Yi. It's like he's probably done it for his own good, yeah? And it's one person. Everyone else seems to be getting their freedom of speech back. One person doesn't, and that makes him the bad guy. But they always go, yeah, all right, he's doing that. He's got rid of the child porn, and he's got rid of the COVID misinformation policy, and he's going to release all this stuff about Hunter Biden's laptop. All great. They go, yeah, that's all great. It's a trap because they want to stick a chip in your head. Well, he is actually working on a chip in your head. Neuralink co-founder said the company has submitted most of the paperwork for the first clinical trials of his human brain chip. Elon Musk has claimed that a wireless chip developed by his company, Neuralink, could start human clinical trials in 6 months. The world's richest man also stated that the biotech startup is confident that their device could restore movement in those who suffer from paralysis. Speaking at a show-and-tell event in the company's headquarters in California on Wednesday, Musk showcased the brain-computer interface, which looked like a stack of several coins with hundreds of thin threads and intended to be implanted in humans by a surgical robot. It's going to be implanted in the brain by a robot. God help us. Such a device could potentially restore full body functionality to those who have a severed spinal cord or bring back vision to people that have never seen, Musk claimed. According to the billionaire, who has just become CEO of Twitter, the company has submitted most of its paperwork to the US FDA, which ensures, among other things, the safety of medical devices. We think probably in about 6 months, we should be able to have our first Neuralink in a human, he said, adding that the company wants to be extremely careful when it comes to such delicate endeavors. The presentation features a video with what Musk said was a monkey using a brain implant to move a cursor and telepathically type on a computer keyboard. He also expressed hope that such devices, which can allow for a transfer of information between humans and machines, will become widespread. And this is the bit that people are worried about. You are so used to being a de facto cyborg, but if you're interacting with your phone, you're limited, the Neuralink co-founder stated. Neuralink has repeatedly missed deadlines for gaining FDA approval for human trials. In 2019, Musk said he wanted to get the go-ahead by the end of 2020. Later in 2021, he claimed he hoped to start this year with trials involving humans. In recent months, Neuralink has also found itself in hot water after it admitted to killing 8 monkeys during a trial of its brain chip technology. However, the firm insisted that it is working with animals in the most human way, dismissing allegations that the monkeys had been subjected to extreme suffering. So my opinion, I think, honestly, this is way off in the future. And right now we have to, you know, if there are medical benefits, should this technology be used? I think that's the first sort of starting point as a question I have for you, Brian. If there's medical benefits, make people walk, see, whatever, should it be used?
Well, maybe. I'm going to say maybe. That's a maybe with a lot of weight on the no end of my answer, because when I see this, you know, this is a much bigger topic than a health topic. The health aspect of it is amazing but dangerous, and I see it as a red flag when something like this comes along. Not that we've ever seen anything like this come along, but you could use mRNA technology as an example. Something new comes along, and we're told, what were we told about mRNA jabs? They're safe, they're necessary, and they're effective. Were they safe? No. Were they necessary? No. Were they effective? Well, only if you're a psychopath globalist that wants to depopulate the earth. That's the only way in which those are effective. Sorry, Bill Clinton. I heard you got the COVID again and you think it's effective still. What a joke you are, you psychopath. So, and then there's the whole, like, they're tugging on the audience's heartstrings by saying it'll help people with paralysis. It'll help people that are blind. It'll help people that have this and that and this and that. It's similar. That whole thing is similar to me as the topic of like robots in San Francisco, you know, with bombs attached to them. It'll help save some people's lives. What are you talking about with regards to law enforcement? You have DAs in all these places now that don't even prosecute crimes. So why do you need a robot to go out and you know, blow up someone who's doing a crime you're probably not going to prosecute them for anyways? Same thing with this medical stuff. It's like, I mean, with this Neuralink stuff, it's like we live in a world now where they want to euthanize everybody. They want to give people the opportunity to commit suicide in a clinical format. They want to abort as many babies as possible. They want to cut them up. They want to sell off their parts and their organs for this and that. They want to destroy the food system. They want to destroy the financial system. And we're sitting here thinking, oh, it would be so cool if you could save somebody's eyesight with some, you know, computer chips in their brain. Get out of here. You're trying to kill everybody, you know? So it's like these are excuses to set up another human experimental thing. And, you know, in my estimation, this is simply the most advanced version, potentially, of MK Ultra that we've ever seen. This could be the worst MK Ultra, and MK Ultra is more than just, oh, it's that one CIA project where they did mind control. No, folks. I wouldn't say this often, but you really should watch TrueStream Media's documentary called The Minds of Men, if you want to understand just how deep and how sick and how twisted and how international and how much money and how many NGOs went into the MK Ultra project. And you think they just shut that down? You think they just shut that down? They're literally mind controlling us right now with low tech, with media, simply with media and direction and images and shit. So wait till they put electrodes in people's brains. We're going to have robots sewing electrodes into people's brains. And by the way, the monkeys and the pigs, they're not having a good go of this, Darren. It looks like a lot of them have experienced side effects.
That was the report, that there were some, you know, they did work on monkeys, and a lot of them, or the monkeys that were operated on and had these chips put in, they did suffer. I, for one, will not be having a chip. And I think it's very difficult. I see this off far off in the distance. You know, Elon wants to start doing human testing now. I still think it's quite far off. And if they were going to say mandate chips into people's brains, like they have done with the vaccines, that's a very different story because it requires surgery. I'm sure many, many, many people will definitely go, oh, wait a sec, that's a bit too far. Of course, there are going to be those who, you know, they'll be fighting to be first through the door to have a chip in their brain. And when I see these stories, what I think about is something that Stephen Hawking said. And he said the same thing about AI as well as genetics. So this is about genetics, but he said the same thing about both topics. He says, I'm sure during the 20th century, people will discover how to modify both intelligence and instincts such as aggression. Laws will be passed against genetic engineering of humans, but some people won't be able to resist the temptation to improve human characteristics such as memory, resistance to disease, and length of life. So that's specifically on genetics. Once such superhumans appear, there'll be significant political problems for unimproved humans who won't be able to compete. Presumably, they will die out or become unimportant. Instead, there'll be a race of self-designing beings who are improving at an ever-increasing rate. So this is something that he said to about people using genetics to improve their intelligence, i.e. another sort of super race of humans. But he said exactly the same thing about AI, about how AI will be a self-designing, self-improving system that humans cannot compete with because of the short lifespan. You know, if you had AGI, it could make it, you know, you've seen it with like these, the Go computer, what's it, AlphaGo? It taught itself how to play AlphaGo and beat the previous Alpha AI about, you know, 100-0 after just learning the game on its own. And that's just a sort of fairly crude example. AGI would be able to solve any problem at all that is given to him, given enough time, and that we would be effectively superfluous. You know, we would no longer be needed. And Stephen Hawking said the only way that we would be able to compete with genetic super beings or super artificial intelligence is actually to modify ourselves in order to give us a chance to keep up with them. So, you know, there's two sides to this. And part of this, I think there is an inevitability that we are going to try and connect ourselves to technology and to AI and to the internet. I think it's going to happen. It's really a case of who has the power and controls this technology, because it could be used for great benefit. It could really further us, or it could potentially spell the end of human civilization as we know it. And we'll be, I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan, be like the Borg in the future, which is probably my ultimate nightmare as a sci-fi fan.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, RoboCop keeps coming into play here too. We keep talking about that because RoboCop, the story of that actually shows this clash between AI and cybernetically modified cyborg humans. And, you know, it's a little, you know, cheesy and old school, but the underlying story is exactly about that. As well as Battlestar Galactica. We were talking about Graham Hancock last night in the Ancient Apocalypse, and the question came up, and I'll leave everybody with this. The question came up, like they say in Battlestar Galactica, the newer one, is it true that all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again? Is this the inevitable end when humanity reaches singularity, ubiquitous computing, artificial intelligence, and cybernetics? Is that the only ending that can happen? That's what is really the high-level sci-fi question here. And we get to navigate this. We living right now, we get to navigate this, whether it happens in 6 months or 6 years. the FDA is already saying, yeah, we're going to go with this.
Yeah, when you say has this all happened before, it just makes the hair stand up on the back of my
neck. It does, right?
My neck. Yeah, of course it does. In fact, it's the most pertinent tweet I've ever seen on Twitter, was just saying exactly that. It passed by me in 2020, and I was frozen just thinking about it. I think it has all happened before, and I think it probably will all happen again, Brian.
Yeah.
So it's such a fascinating topic.
I tend to agree. You know, I'm not like a Graham Hancock acolyte or anything, but there are some points there that are undeniably creepy and kind of lead towards what we're saying here. So interesting. Very interesting. All right, Darren, you have a great weekend, my friend.
Angie, have a good weekend, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes, everybody. Be sure and check out Darren's show over here on TNT also. And let us know what you really think. Drop into the soapbox. Check out the Daily Question over there. Upload some video, some audio. Drop us a note. Whatever, we're going to light the fuse for freedom here on TNT Radio, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Joe Bastardi.
You should hear what Joseph Arthur is talking about.
One of the most prominent U.S. newspapers has again called for Americans to rely on bugs as a major food source, arguing that the shift to edible insects from beef, pork, and chicken will be good for the environment. It's a laundry list. I was thinking about like somebody defining themselves as a liberal or a progressive in this day and age, and the laundry list of the things that you have to agree with to fit within the modern definition of what a progressive is, from believing kids should have be able to have sex changes and be castrated and put on hormones, to eating insects, to taking injections that are untested and experimental, and then the underlying thing about all of them, and there's more. I mean, the green energy agenda, which just isn't vaguely ready to really do the job at hand. When you pile them together, it just grows increasingly absurd. And the underlying thing of all of them is, if you even question any of them vaguely, you're kicked out of the club. And not only kicked out, but canceled, demonized, and, you know, told to go to the Shadowland. It's just really nuts.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
And now, political observations from the late Stephen Hawking.
We boldly go where no man has gone before.
What do a pecan, a walnut, and Nancy Pelosi have in common? They are two nuts and a maniac.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I am joined by TNT's climate and weather watchdog, or as I like to call him, the best meteorologist on the interwebs, Joe Bastardi. Welcome to the show. How you doing today?
Aha. Someone muted me, afraid that off the air I would say something. Oh, come on. I'm now unmuted, obviously, which you know, may not be good for your audience and may not be good for the ratings, but anyway, we'll give it a shot.
We'll roll with it.
The last 3 months, we've been talking about this early cold coming for Europe. And if you followed along, and I always get antsy when I start explaining this as like I'm taking a victory lap, because it is in a way bragging. But on the other hand, you have to understand the story of today's weather was written many months ago. The book has been written since summer. Certain things happen in the summer. Certain things happen in the tropical weather patterns, which dictated similar conditions to what we saw happen in other years, where Europe and the eastern United States turned very cold early in the winter. And so that is happening now. And of course, the ante is up because Joe Biden has made weather great again by cutting supply so much that prices are naturally high. And when prices are naturally high, things are more volatile. When things are more volatile, the weather's more important. So in a way, it's good for my job because what can happen at the end of the year is people who are not clients, we can go to them and say, listen, if you had known this back in August and September when this guy was saying this, you would have had an up on what was coming instead of just waiting till after everybody was piling in. And the geopolitical situation, though, now, and the situation as far as toll of human misery, this is about as harsh a setup as I've ever seen for a winter. We're similar to December 2010, as far as the overall pattern, the way December will wind up, I think, over the U.S. and over Europe. December 2010, we had plenty of energy. December 2019, we had plenty of energy. We had plenty of energy globally until these insane energy policies to fight a phony climate war came along and curtailed U.S. production, which, of course, there was a domino effect around the world. So now we're faced with situations where, and I don't know what they're thinking in Europe here. If they thought they had a tough time in summer, it is a heck of a lot easier to cool something that's hot than to heat something that's cold with constant cold around it. And the UK, France, Germany, Poland, Scandinavia. So for Greta up there, Thunberg, so she'll know that it can still get cold again. These places are going to just be as brutal as they've been in the last 12 years in December. The United States is going into the deep freeze. And, normally when this happens in the States, I'm like, I absolutely love it. I love when the period, run up to Christmas is cold and there's threats of snowstorms and, the whole old fashioned type thing. But all this is going to do is just compound the misery. And the hideous thing about a cold December in the United States is we haven't had them in many years. So what happens is it ups the ante for the rest of the winter. Now we've taken some gut punches in February, and the models, which I vehemently disagreed with, were saying, well, yeah, it's going to be a blowtorch December. We don't have to worry about cold. And then we have to worry about January and February. Well, there's a chance you run the table as in parts of the country. I'm advising clients now. I do think the East will get out of this with a January thaw. So I'm telling you what we're telling clients with the long range forecast. But if I'm wrong about that, if in 2010, 2011, it was very, very similar to this. I nailed the front part of winter from a few months out and then blew the mid and latter part of the winter. I thought we were going to reverse and warm up, and we never did. The problem again is 2010, 2011, we did not have shackles on the global energy pattern, supply pattern, supply, whatever. We are shackled, right? And because of that, we're sitting here trying to figure out what the heck is going to go on. Now, apparently, and I don't know the details of this. I talked to some people on the sideline. The Europeans have decided they are capping what oil they buy from Russia at $60. Now, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. I thought there was a war going on here, right? Well, obviously, Putin needs petrodollars. And so I guess they're still trading or whatever. And I'm sitting here going, okay, we're talking Vladimir Putin here. And John McCain, is there any relation over there? John McCain, for whatever you think about John McCain, he said it perfectly back in a 2008 debate when Barack Obama was trying to tell us Putin is not a problem, and we're all a bunch of fuddy-duddies and don't understand Russia's our buddy now. Let's remember how we got here. All right. McCain said, I see three letters in his eyes, KGB, right? And I always believed this about Putin. I've studied Putin a little bit from my perch here. I'm not a Putin expert. A, I believe he's a Russian nationalist. B, I believe he is a very orthodox Russian Christian. People go, oh, how's this guy a Christian? Well, there have been a lot of crazy things done in the name of God that, you know, aren't godlike. But I believe he believes that the Russian Orthodox Church is extremely important. They're building more churches every week in Russia. You know, in China, they build a coal plant a week. In Russia, they build a church a week. So, you know, it's a pretty interesting dynamic going on over there.
And they shut down a lot of that woke culture stuff, too. They disallow a lot of the culture jamming that we see here in the United States, because that stuff runs antithetical to any Orthodox church, especially the Eastern Orthodox church.
Well, yeah, it's sort of weird. You know, now I don't want people go, oh, you're a Putin apologist, or you apologize for the Ayatollahs. I understand their position. You see, if you read their position, the reason Iran just absolutely despises us is they believe we are basically the whore of Babylon. They believe that our culture wages war on God. That's what they believe. Now, you may say, well, that is absolutely crazy or whatever. And in the eyes of a Christian, we're choice, which freedom to choose as God's greatest gift to you. It is wrong to sit there and force somebody to adhere to your religion. On the other hand, what they're saying is we don't have any religion here in the West. By that, I mean, we're done. Putin's saying the same thing. He said, what the heck's the matter with you people over there, right? And it irks him that Kyiv, is where the Russian Orthodox Church was founded, is in the hands of people who, he has pointed out, produce 90% of the world's pornography. I mean, but here's the thing. I'm saying all this, and you say, why are you defending Putin? I'm telling you, Putin is in the driver's seat here, and we put him there. Because suppose he says, you want to know something? I'm going to ride this thing out. I'm not selling you any oil. I'm not selling it to you at $60 a barrel. I'm not selling. You're done. And let me tell you folks something about climate change and Vladimir Putin. He was hooked up with the KGB. The KGB, he ran the KGB. You don't think the KGB is hooked up with the Russian scientific community back in the old communist Russia? I mean, my goodness, he's probably laughing at all this. And I'm sure the Chinese are laughing at our phony climate war. Oh, yeah, we've got to do this and do that. And China's just simply, they don't care. Look, it's amazing what's going on. So here's the thing. Here you had the natural gas prices go to, you know, the equivalent of $100, I guess, as a MTI or whatever they call it over there. It just went skyrocketing in the summer. It appears to me that the potential with the cold that is coming into Europe is such that if certain things happen, I don't know what these people are going to do. It's going to be like London in the Blitzkrieg. I mean, where are you going to get the energy from? Where? And meanwhile, okay, the United States, we're exporting all sorts of LNG. Well, what happens when we export natural gas? The cold comes. You got Biden already talking about these laws to try to, natural gas, we have to put these limits on natural gas as far as making sure they're environmentally clean and all this other stuff. Handcuffing them even more. What the heck? I mean, if this is either pure stupidity or it's a design. And I can't believe that it's not by design. And the design is to, send everybody into the abyss where they have to reach for some kind of savior. And knowing the way the United States is now, as far as our beliefs in God, our savior is going to turn out to be the government, and then bang, you're China. I mean, I don't know if we're going to go exactly that. By the way, do you see that Babylon Bee? It's so funny about the Babylon Bee. I love seeing it. They said that China has tapped Gretchen Whitmer to lead the lockdowns over there for their rounds of COVID that are coming around. So, but I hope you folks understand the weather has its the weather's at the core of this. It is forcing the issue. It is my prayer, all right, that people that are going to be impacted by this wake up and understand what the heck is going on here. You've been trapped. Yeah, and to sit there and keep going, oh, climate this, climate that, climate emergency. We're not in a climate emergency. If you go and look, and I put this on Twitter 1,000 times, I show it to people all the time. We're in a climate optimum. All right. And that circles back to this whole idea, people always talk about solar cycles. Well, these volcanic cycles, I'm hoping this Mauna Loa explosion gets people to understand that if you're getting above ground explosions of volcanoes, you're ratcheted it up at the base of the oceans. And that Pacific Ring of Fire is very active and adding to the heat in the oceans, which in turn adds to the heat in the atmosphere, which in turn probably is driving the whole thing and shoots the whole CO2 theory down, or at least makes it so negligible that it exposes the phony reasons for this that people have bought into. So, hey, listen, it's all tied together, at least, in my warped view.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, plus when the volcanoes go, it's like a mass of CO2 and other things are released into the atmosphere, right? Like there's also that comparison of like some of these volcanoes that go up produce more CO2 in, one event than all human history has, breathed and farted.
Well, yeah, that's
and
exactly
industrialized.
Right. Look, the atmosphere can take that. See, this is the thing about that the atmosphere is a tip of the iceberg of climate, all right? And temperature is an extremely poor metric. And what has happened is we have been focused on this, on carbon dioxide, because of a political and social agenda that is basic. Look, you can read Obama's books. Why people actually read what Barack Obama said? The penalty for what the United States has done is 100% redistribution. All right. I mean, it makes no bones about it. I forget which book is it. Dreams of My Father, who was a communist. That's an interesting one.
Yep.
Wonder what kind of dreams that guy had. Right. Or Hope and Audacity or whatever it was. But when Obama
came on the scene,
The Audacity of Hope. I've tried to put it out of my mind, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
But the fact is, he says things in there that expose who he is. And, he's the best politician of my day and age. My definition of a politician is someone who could sell themselves as something they aren't, right? I mean, and there's no better example. I'd love to hang out with Barack Obama. I think he wouldn't get mad or upset or flip out or anything like that. I'd love to figure out exactly what makes him tick, though I suspect I know what makes him tick. But it's funny because that's what this is about. That is what this is about. That, with 4% of the population, we take 25% of the Earth's resources, right? Yeah, but guess what we've done with them, right? Are you trying to say that if there was no United States of America with our innovation and our technology and what we've done with that 25%, the rest of the world would not have been better off? Cut me some slack. But this is what they do. All they do is look at the first derivative. They look at the surface. And most people, come on, folks, quit being so blind. You've got to look beyond what you see. That is a right look. Proverbs 25:2. Okay. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Search the matter out is the glory of king. Now, do you want to be a king or do you want to be a serf? Which one do you want? Well, you got to go and look. And I'll tell you what, and I always tell this to people. And by the way, I know this is your show, even though I come on and try to pretend it's mine. Look, here's the thing. I don't have the answers. The answers lie with the wisdom that comes from the good Lord above. But I certainly know to look for those answers, I have to have the questions. When you get someone that instead of arguing with your answers is stopping you from even asking questions, that person is trying to play God. Now, if you don't believe in God, fine with me. You know, I'm not going to judge it. All right. And I'm not saying that, you know, some kind of, you know, patronizing way. I'm not going to judge you. Okay. You don't believe in God. Why would you let someone else be your God? You see, that's what's crazy about all this. All right. That when you sit there and start screaming and yelling and shutting roads down because of a phony climate war, you are actually making someone influence you enough to do that, that they are your master. They are your God, right? You know, now we're going to actually have people start slicing pieces of art, which is, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, they're trying to get rid of unbelievable artifacts from the past that prove the greatness of man through the ages. And many of these protests that you see are simply a bunch of spoiled ingrates that know they cannot produce or do with the amount of effort that these people put in what they did. I don't know how people don't see that, you know? But in any case, it circles back to the weather, circles back to climate. And if it comes front and center, Brian, and we get a chance to, you know, really expose these people as far as what the motive is so that people will ask questions, then maybe it's worth our while.
Yeah. I totally agree. It is one of the, if not the long pole in the tent of the Great Reset, of the Green New Deal, of globalism itself, of a shift into carbon credits and CBDC. Like, this is something that we can't let go. And it's something that should be looked at with a proper eye. Now, let me take a quick station break here with TNT Joe, and we will be right back for another segment.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
More evidence that the Department of Justice under President Biden is little more than a political arm of the left. You might remember the case of Uroj Rahman, a lawyer who, along with another attorney, threw a Molotov cocktail into an NYPD cruiser during the 2020 George Floyd riots in New York City. The Trump administration wanted to use a domestic terrorism sentencing enhancement against them, which would have carried a maximum 10-year sentence. But according to the Washington Free Beacon, the Biden Justice Department dropped that, and the pair pleaded guilty to lesser charges. Rahman still faced up to 5 years in prison, but got just 15 months after the Biden Justice Department intervened on her behalf. The judge actually called Rahman a remarkable person who did a terrible thing one night, repeating the argument of her defense team. Prosecutors said both attorneys explicitly approved of violence and in text messages encouraged others to engage in violence. And the Biden DOJ went to bat for these low-life punks, shouted from the rooftops. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A former federal election official called the $400 million plus that Mark Zuckerberg spent to finance the local elections was a carefully orchestrated attempt to influence the 2020 vote and recommended that all states ban private funding of election offices. Hans von Spakovsky, a former Federal Election Commission member, said the billionaire Facebook founder's donations to a pair of non-profits that provided funding to nearly 2,500 counties in 49 states violated fundamental principles of equal treatment of voters, since it may have led to unequal opportunities to vote in different areas of a state. This allowed the conversion of official government election offices into get-out-the-vote operations for one political party and to insert political operatives into election offices to influence and manipulate the outcome of the election.
This is today's news talk.
Talking is a good thing.
And the voice of freedom.
Let's listen now.
Now, right now.
TNT.
All right, everybody. Yes, the climate, the climate, the climate, the climate, the climate change, the planet, the green, blah, 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 blah. Right. Okay. So we're going to experience austerity, wartime economies and stuff over this. Like, this is a big part of it. This is a big part of it. Their whole green agenda, all the carbon neutral stuff. This all is contingent on you, the listener, on the people that you know. I know you, the listeners, a lot of you know exactly. You're on the same page as Joe and I. But it seems so ridiculous to me, Joe, that we can't have the discussion. Like, people think that this is settled science. I hate that term, settled science. You know, it's like,
oh, Ryan, if it's settled science, why are we even spending any money researching it? I mean, do you know what they do? They have all these crazy little, and they're crazy. Yeah, what do I care about the tree slug in Nepal, and some of the other stuff that they do. This is going to affect this or that. By the way, do you hear what's going on with the polar bear population?
It's increasing.
It's like at record high levels.
Yeah.
Polar bears. What happened to that? You know, there's an article coming out in CFAQ, folks. Check it out. Three lies that they're telling. I don't use the word lies because it makes people that I work with nervous. So I call it deception. All right. Denying and deception. Three examples of it. All right. And in it, the one is denying and the deception with the volcanoes. Right. Now, I saw this tweet from this guy at Stanford, and it's the times that I don't really go looking to troll anybody. I don't ever troll anybody, but the guy actually, it's snowing more in the Northern Hemisphere, folks. It's snowing more. There's more snow every year. You can see it going up gradually. Now, the guy says, of course it's snowing more. There's more water vapor in the air because it's getting warmer. So it's going to snow more. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a PhD and whatever he's a PhD. And I'm going, you cannot be that stupid to walk into that trap. That is climate change 101. My dad gave me a book when I was 8 years old. It was an easy book to read. It's called Why the Weather. And one of the chapters, believe it or not, 1963, was on climate change. And what it said was when the earth gets warmer, it will start snowing more in areas that even though they get warmer, they're not warm enough to stop it from snowing. When it snows, snow breeds more snow because it breeds more cold. Why? Have you ever seen what happens after a snowstorm hits an area or deep snow covers over an area for a while? What happens is, the temperatures are lower every single night. So what happens is it changes the weather patterns. Storms, let's say there's no snow on the ground in the Ohio Valley, all right? The warm air will have a shot at coming in. If there's snow on the ground, it can prevent the warm air from coming in, force the frontal boundary to be further south. Let's say it's in the Tennessee Valley. Bang, wave of low pressure comes along that boundary and dumps more snow, right? Snow breeds snow. Snow breeds cold. And one of the first signs of the natural fight back of nature is what this guy was describing as something that, of course, it's snowing more, right? Yeah, it's snowing more because it's a sign of the Le Chatelierian type response that goes on, which the atmosphere works by. Chatelier's principle is if you introduce something into a system, it will counterbalance it and establish a new basic set point, right? So what happens is this. I'm like going, this is surreal. You are, in other words, defying 55 years of climate, of what they used to teach in school in climatology about what will happen if it tries to warm. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is, now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't in 2000, around 2000, they were saying pretty soon there's going to be no more snow, that we weren't going to see snow anymore. Well, how is snow increasing? It's like the hurricanes. The hurricanes aren't getting bigger and stronger. right? If you actually look at the statistics, they're getting smaller. They're pretty intense at the center. They're still intense at the center, but they're not as big. They're not long track storm. You got this, you've got this law firm suing the oil companies for $100 billion for climate reparations for Puerto Rico. Hello, Puerto Rico, you're in the middle of a tropical ocean. You're going to get slammed by hurricanes. They're not getting any worse. Oh, Fiona was so bad. We had so much rain. Yeah, because it moved 10 miles an hour. It was a 75 mile an hour hurricane. It wasn't like Irma or Maria. Okay, so, oh, Joe, those were big hurricanes in 2017. That's right. And when was the last big hurricane in Puerto Rico? Before major hurricane Puerto Rico, before 2017. 1989, Hugo. So wouldn't you think that we're going to see a major hurricane maybe every 5-10 years in Puerto Rico? Or how would you like, you realize Hispaniola, let's take Haiti, all right? You know what my dad used to say about Hispaniola, Brian? He used to say, he was kidding around the house, but he said, we should give them foreign aid. Because if that island wasn't there, because of the way it would break up hurricanes, he said, nobody would be living in Florida, right? 1963, 64, and 66, in a four-year period, three Category 4 hurricanes hit Hispaniola, right? Now, if that happens today, Haiti would be suing the oil companies for climate change. You see what I'm saying? So you've got these lies that are out there and they're being told and people are buying into them simply because they won't look. So here you had this guy, and I give the example of it. You are actually making an argument for why the Earth is responding to the warming that is going on. That is natural. I mean, it's hard to believe. And see, they will actually say stuff. And because of their ignorance, I'm not going to call them stupid. Ignorant is different. It means you ignore something, you haven't seen it. Okay. So, and I'm ignorant on that. But because of the ignorance, they walk into a trap. Problem is, the media won't expose them. Oh, yeah. See what that guy. And they won't expose that. 20 years ago, you were telling us it was going to go the opposite direction. And listen, I'm sorry, I get fired up about this stuff. And I cherish every chance I have to be on TNT radio. I'm not as smooth as Malzberger Murano with their minutes. You know, mine's a little more choppy. But folks, there is a lot out there, all right? If it means something to you, and unfortunately, it now means a lot more than, oh, look, it's snowing or whatever. By the way, we had 7 inches of rain in Sydney and in the month of November. That happened in 1950, right? 1950 is one of the analog years we're using to set up December in the Northern Hemisphere. You see how that's linked? But if you don't know it rained 7 inches in Sydney in, 1950, you won't be able to use that linkage. Everything is linked. And folks, I want you to love the weather because, you know, my standard outro, but also now, you're going to have to look at the weather. You're going to have to look at climate, and you're going to have to do more than just accept what you hear, starting with me first. Okay.
There you go. And it's like, I don't understand why so many people just do not have the ability to even look at the situation with climate change and look at how many lies they've already been told. You know, we were told we're going to break the ozone layer with our hairspray. We were told, Al Gore told us we were going to lose all our beachfront property. They told us all the polar bears are going to die and the ice caps are going to melt. None of that has come true. That has all been proven patently untrue. And then they reinvigorate the whole thing over the last few years with Greta and Extinction Rebellion. And we're right back in it with a new set of lies. Now we've only got 12 years to live. And it's like they've told us lie after lie after lie. And now they're setting up schemes to make money on this for themselves. And it's
Brian, same thing with COVID. Did you see that, the initial ideas on the vaccine, 100% effective, right? And you see it shrink all the way down to now less than 50%. Drip, drip, drip. See, what they do is they let the truth drip out. They hit with huge headlines and, oh my gosh, let's go hide. And then gradually the truth drips out. But by that time, you've already been trapped. And that's a problem. So you know what, folks? Yep. Now, I'm not telling you believe me, but at least go out and look for yourself, and then you can believe yourself.
That's what he's talking about, folks. That is what has been known in our circles as the boiling frog syndrome. They tell you lies and lies and lies, and you just sit there and bask in the water like, oh, well, you know, it's turning into a bit of a sauna, a bit of a hot tub in here, but it's all right. It feels all right. That's all right. And next thing you know, you're boiled and your frog legs, and someone is sucking the meat off your leg bone. That's there you go. A little analogy for you. Thanks, Joe. You are the man.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. Everyone, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Oh, I'm so glad you said it. It needed to be said. It needs to be said every day. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Joe, I'm having fun with the weather out here in Texas. So I'll talk to you more about that next time. Thank you.